True quality work and service you can trust since 1998. Visit them at WedlandSons.com. This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Riley County Extension Agriculture Agent Greg McClure. If you have questions or comments, as always, phone lines will be open all hour, 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. And before we get to some of the things you wanted to talk about today, it's going to be rainy today. What's that mean for our crops out there, Greg, and our cattle and livestock?
Well, it means we're going to be slowed down, and so it's harvest time, but it's not when it's this wet. So push harvest back a ways, that pushes wheat planting back a ways, and so we've got quite a few challenges.
I've seen a lot of activity going on in the fields up until this latest bout of rain.
But yeah, it was busy. Corn harvest was going good. Soybean harvest had started, and so in this part of the state, normally our wheat gets planted behind soybeans, and so we try to get the soybeans out so we can get the wheat planted, and so that's not going to happen very quickly. So, you know, ideally we'd be planted, have our wheat planted by about the middle of October. Well, you can kind of look and see it's, the 6th today. It's going to be wet for a while. We've got a lot of harvest yet, so we're going to be late. We'll probably be planting wheat after the 1st of November yet this year.
And hopefully no concerns about freezing. I mean, I'm hoping we're not getting there yet, but I haven't seen anything in the long-range forecast, but just something to think about. Well, moving along, I know it is also a time when we talk about weaning calves, and that's kind of what you're here to talk about today.
Yeah, and this is normally a really busy time of year. So it's the time of year that we should be weaning those spring-calved those cows that had spring-born calves. Now, it doesn't necessarily always happen. So ideally, we'll wean those in late September or October, early October. Traditionally, what we see is weaning time closer to the 1st of November or even the middle of November. And honestly, that's what happened on the McClure farm. The grazing season was from the 1st of May to the 1st of November. And so November 1st, that first week, we were busy bringing cows home, bringing calves home. Calves went into the lot, one of those hard weaning practices. You know, shut them up and turn the cows out on stocks and, you know, hope everything works. Yeah, we've learned a lot since then. That's not really the way we want to do it. One of the reasons I've learned that is when we weaned calves early, again, on the McClure farm, we weaned some in the middle of September. We had a set that we wanted to bring home so we could send some bulls to a bull test. Brought those calves home, weaned them. Boy, they look good. Left those cows out in the pasture for another month and a half at that time. And by the time we brought that set of cows home, they'd gained weight. Put them on stocks, they gained more weight. And so, you know, and research backs me up. So, you know, it's like, you know, why don't we do it this way all the time? You know, it just makes so much more sense. What we do is, you know, we have this thought in our heads that, well, this is cheap, easy gain by leaving those calves on the cows another month. But in reality, they don't gain a whole lot between now and the 1st of November. The cows actually lose weight because that calf's dragging them down. You know, if we can get that calf off, get some weight on that cow, what we see is they breed back better the next year. And so there's a whole lot of benefit to getting them weaned earlier. And so that's why I want to talk about this, see if we can get some people pushed up. Realize it's normally a busy, busy time of year because we've got fall harvest. And again, that's part of the McClure's problems. You know, we were harvesting milo, we were planting wheat. You didn't have time to go wean calves that time of year. You just, you got to have to set some priorities and figure out how to get some things done.
And there is really a process involved. I mean, average person out there may not realize all you go through.
There is a process. And again, you know, we pretty much did it wrong all the time. and that's just kind of, I understand when people do it that way because it's hard. We had pastures that were usually in our country. I grew up in Phillips County. In that country, there are 160-acre pastures. They carried about 25 cows and a bull. So you'd go, and those pastures weren't necessarily right next door, 10 miles, 5 miles. Some people haul cows farther than that. So when it's time to wean, what do? You have to go set up a pen. Ideally, you'd go set up the pen. You'd get the cattle used to it. You'd start feeding a little bit of feed to both the cows and the calves, your weaning ration. Then you'd bring the calves and the cows in, you know, and you get them used to that and then bring them home. Well, it doesn't happen that way. What you do is you go set up the pen, you get everything in, you haul them all home. You know, none of this easy stuff, none of this taking it gently. But if we could, we would like to do fence line weeding. And that would entail pretty much what I described. Have the pen set up, get the cattle used to it, run them through that pen a few times. Then when it comes weaning time, you know, having fed them in a bunk a little bit ahead of time, come weaning time, actually shut the cows up and leave the calves on that grass with those bunks, and it'll be a whole lot smoother. We've got some local producers that do that. They do it very successfully. If you want to go online, I can find you the YouTube videos and see how it works, and you'll be amazed.
So the calves are in a familiar environment.
The calves are in a familiar environment. Yeah. They're eating grass, which is what they're used to. And so, you know, if we're pulling them in and putting them on feed, we need to give them grass hay. They're used to grass. So, yeah, familiar environment, same feed they're used to. It's just a lot less stress if we can do it that way.
Luckily, their stomachs aren't quite as sensitive as horses. I know.
Oh, yeah. Now, horses, I
would
just
even throw that out there. Just that's what I know, yeah. And at least that's an advantage.
Don't even want to go there on horses. I know nothing.
Well, and when we talk about the coal cows, and let's explain to our layman out there what that is. I mean, it's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah,
right?
It is. It's the one for getting rid of. Mm-hmm. And so, weaning time is often the time that we identify those coal cows. And again,
C-U-L-L, just in
case. C-U-L-L, and that cool cow is the one that didn't make the cut. She's the one we're going to get rid of. And we get rid of them for a variety of reasons. Ideally, it would be because she's old. That means that she produced all of those years and she did well for us. But it could be that she didn't have a calf. She lost her calf. Well, we shouldn't have had her into the fall if she lost her calf in the spring. But anyway, one, she's not raising a calf, or she's not raising a good calf, raising one that isn't very big. Sometimes it's just plain temperament. And maybe temperament ought to be the number one reason that we get rid of them, because anything that's hard to handle really doesn't need to be around. I learned over many years, and I have been in the cattle business. Now, those that know me well these days think of me as sheep guy. We've got a few sheep, and we play with them. But we were in the cattle business for a lot of years, and so we've done it. And those crazy ones, they don't get any better. They stay crazy. You know, that one cow that never does come home, you know, maybe she's profitable because you never fed her through the winter. You left her out on grass. And if you're lucky, you got her calf captured the next year and got it sold, but they're a nuisance because they tend to drag the whole herd out. You know, when you try to get them in a pen, you got that one taken off and running out, and she's a real headache. Aside from sometimes they're just plain dangerous. You know, we had a set at one time sired by the same two bulls that were half brothers that they're just plain mean.
Yeah, and something you need to know.
I recall well tagging those and going back in and saying, "Hey, Dad, this kind of dangerous." And Dad says, "Oh, she's okay." Yeah, anytime he says, "Oh, she's okay," he about got killed too.
So, oh my goodness! So we do hear of that every once in a while.
Yeah,
I mean, it can, a problem with cattle.
It can be dangerous. You've got to watch out. So anyway, we talk about cool cows because cool cows are actually 24-25% of your gross income with a cow-calf operation. With that being that big a percentage of your gross income, maybe we should manage it a little differently rather than just identifying them at weaning time, haul them to town, getting rid of them. Because weaning time, if that's November, is usually about the low price for cool cows.
Now, we talked about rain earlier during this segment, and mud probably in the picture in the future if it's not already there. Feedlot mud,
yeah,
some suggestions that way.
Well, I want to talk about this topic when it's dry because we need to be cleaning feedlots and getting them in shape for weaning when it's dry, but nobody pays attention when it's dry. So when it rains, then we go ahead and talk about it, and maybe you'll put it in the back of your mind and recognize that something needs to be done. And just a few statistics on feedlot mud. So if it's dew claw deep, so we're looking at a couple inches, that's a 7% decrease in gain and feed efficiency. If we have mud that's ankle deep, okay, so we're up to the next joint, that's 14% decrease in feed efficiency and gain. If we're hock deep, that's getting to be pretty deep mud. But I've seen it. That's a 21% decrease in feed efficiency and gain. And if we're belly deep, then that's really, really deep.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, that's really, really deep. But in some of these small pens, We see it get that bad, 28% decrease in feed efficiency. So just the point being, even if it's only that 7% we're going to gain, it's worth cleaning those pens, getting them cleaned up, getting some mounds built, and getting these things in shape to where we can do a better job.
Good point. I never would have thought about the efficiency and how that entered into it. So I learned something. I know you have several things coming up you wanted to highlight today too, Greg, some farm financial management and some financial workshops.
Yeah, the last thing on my list is these FinPAC workshops. So FinPAC is something I've been talking to you yearly for about 3 years now. It's a farm financial analysis package, software package from University of Minnesota. It's used by our Kansas Farm Analyst Program to help farmers analyze their farm records and their farm business and to make better business decisions. And so we piloted some workshops here in Manhattan last year. We had a meeting where we introduced this to everyone, and then we offered the actual FinPAC analysis at a reduced rate. Had several families take advantage of that. And now it's going a little more statewide. So there's going to be some more of those workshops across the state. And I just want to highlight the two that are going to be closest. So the first one is the Farming for the Future workshop, which is actually a meeting to talk about current farm financial situation, land values, input costs, grain outlook, a lot of those things. Two of those meetings, one will be December 19 in Salina. The other is January 11 in Emporia. So if you want to put those dates on your calendar, December 19 in Salina, January 11 in Emporia. And then the follow-up to that is to actually do the FinPAC analysis. And this requires some intense work. You're probably going to spend a couple of days easily pulling the data together in order to do the analysis on the farm. And the analyst is going to do that much time, too. It's a serious commitment of time. It's really, really good. If you like numbers, you'll really love it. If you hate numbers, you won't like doing it, but you'll like what you get. So I kind of like numbers. And so it's been kind of fun for me to work through some of these. I've plugged my farm in. I've plugged my mom's farm in. I like to see how this turns out. And it gives a pretty good projection of what's going to work and what's not going to work. And so if anybody is interested in that, those workshops, there will be a chance to do that January 11 and 12 in Salina and February 12 and 13 in Emporia. That's something that they really need to give me a call. We'll talk about it, see what information they need to get. They need to get the information started a good month ahead of those. The fee on that is $150, which is reduced from the normal $450. So there's a grant covering this. It's a really good program. I don't promote this for people that are in financial trouble. I promote it for farmers who are just wanting to see where they're at. It's something that I think I would do every year.
Very good. Well, lots of good information today. Riley County Extension Agriculture Agent Greg McClure, stay dry.
Well, if it's not raining when I go out.
Exactly. We'll go ahead and take a break now. When we come back, it's time for Wamego's Oztoberfest, and we're going to be talking, of course, with a couple of folks today about that. Wamego Area Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Darren Sullivan, and also John Fricke, Oz historian, also Emmy Award-winning producer and Grammy Award nominee. Be fun to talk to him. In Focus, you're listening to on News Radio KMAN.